The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
We are in the middle of a series called what I call Gospel Fluency. It's taken from a book from a pastor out in Seattle, Washington, Jeff Vanderzelt. I read the book many years ago and have been wanting to preach this, and so we're in the middle of it here. Well, not quite the middle. We're in the process of it. And our goal in this is not that we just become familiar with the gospel, because I think we are familiar with the gospel. It's not that we just know it, but it's that our goal is to be proficient at living it. We need to be living the gospel every day and every moment of our lives. Because the gospel is not just something that we need to believe. I mean, we do need to believe the gospel. There's no doubt. But it's more than that. It's a reality that we need to live. We need to be living the reality of the gospel. If the gospel is such good news to us, then we should live that good news. We can't just check this box out. Okay, I believe this. Boop, I check the gospel off. You know, I believe in Jesus, so I can check the Jesus box off. It needs to affect our lives. It needs to change us. It's not about checking a box off, getting it done. It's not my wife is, she loves to make lists. It's how she gets things accomplished. And it's not about checking a thing off a list. It's about living it daily. The gospel is something we must integrate into every aspect of our lives. And it takes intention. Believe me, I've been trying to do this more and more. It takes an intentionality. So when something has happened, I have to think in gospel. You know, we talked about the fact that it's a language that we need to learn. And when you learn a foreign language, when you get really proficient at it, you start thinking in that language. Sometimes I have trouble thinking in English, let alone in something else. But so I'm beginning to try to think in gospel. And just like any other skill in our lives, we need to grow in it. We need to be working at it. We need to mature into it. So while last week we looked at what the gospel says, we looked at what the gospel was. And if you weren't here and you missed it, it's online. Please listen to it. It talks about the gospel from Genesis to Revelation. That's the gospel. That's the good news. But now we want to live out the reality of that gospel together. A couple weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, I talked about the fact that we are all unbelievers, and I want to kind of touch on that a little bit today too. Because that's important, that's foundational to what we believe about the gospel, is that we are unbelievers. Even in our redeemed state, we are still unbelievers. We're still struggling with our belief. There are areas in our lives that we don't fully trust Christ. There are other areas that we do, but there's some areas that we don't. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Romans 1:16. We looked at this verse a couple weeks ago. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, what was the center of the world at that time. He wants to be there. He wants to go there, but God keeps preventing it. Until he finally gets to go there, he goes there in chains. Not exactly the way he expected to go to Rome. But arguably, the book of Romans is probably one of Paul's greatest writings. And this is what it says. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul declares that even though he has been persecuted, even though he has been through so many awful things between being shipwrecked, between being, you know, beaten many times, having run for his life, even with that, he still is not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. He's still not ashamed to share the gospel. He's not going to back down. He's not going to run away from the truth of the gospel. He is going to share it. He's going to live it, because it is the power of God for salvation. Now, we need to understand that the salvation that the gospel gives us is not just our get out of hell free card. It's not just the fire insurance that keeps us from hell and gives us into heaven. That's not just what it's about. Believe me, that's an important part of it. Again, that is what the gospel and salvation does for. It keeps us, it reestablishes our relationship with God. It keeps us from the judgment that we are due. Because Christ took that judgment for us. But that's not only what it's about. It's about rescuing us today, bringing us healing in our life today. It's about living life in a way that you know that Jesus loves you and he's with you, and you can take life better because of it. It doesn't mean your life's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that there are not going to be ups and downs and troubles in your life. Believe me, if you ever hear a preacher preaching and he says, if you believe in Jesus, your life will be perfect, don't listen to him anymore. They're lying to you. They're a false teacher. Because it won't. It will not be perfect. Why? Because we're not perfect. And this world is nowhere near perfect. We need Jesus in our lives today. We need the gospel flowing in us and through us. We need to be thinking the gospel. When we're talking with people, when we're talking with someone and they're struggling, we need to speak the gospel into their lives. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it can change anyone and everyone. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because there's nothing else like it. Nothing. Nothing else can save us except for the gospel. The gospel will never fail us, never let us down, and will overcome any obstacle or challenge put before us. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the very power of God for salvation for anyone who believes. Anyone, not just Americans, not just men, not just women, not just Republicans, not just Democrats. Everyone who believes will be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is for everyone made in the image of God, which is everyone. But not all will accept it. Not all will believe. And that's sad. That's sad. But there's a danger. And I think the church has fallen into this trap, this danger. And it's in the church today and it's proliferant in the church today. And I think those of us that have grown up in the church who've been raised around the gospel, we kind of have gotten to a point where we're too familiar with it. You know? We don't think about it. Yep. I believe it. We're done. Lay that one aside. We're too comfortable with the good news. And the gospel is unbelievably good news. In fact, I'll be honest with you, gospel from a human perspective makes no sense. The gospel is radical. It's reckless from a human perspective. I mean, if you and I were still human and we were God, I mean, we probably would not do what God did. It makes no sense to do that. You did something wrong, you need to pay the price, right? You need to pay it. But to God, it makes perfect sense. To him, it's not reckless at all. Perfect love demands the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perfect love demands it. And God loves perfectly. To him, it makes perfect sense. To us, it just doesn't make sense. There are moments when the grace of God takes my breath away. And why? You think, well, why would it take my breath away? Well, it's because I know me. No, not this me you see standing here. Not even this me you see when I talk to you on the phone or when I meet with you out in public. That's not the real me. I know the me in here. And I know the me in here. And the grace of God takes my breath away. Because he knows me too. And yet he still loves me. And gives me the gospel. Gives me grace. It takes my breath away. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It takes my breath away. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. God makes me new. The old is gone. The problem is, I keep hanging on to the old. I like the old sometimes. It's comfortable. I'm comfortable with the old. God says, no, that's gone. The new has come. The gospel has come and it is in you and it has saved you. Now, understand when I say that, gospel's Jesus, of course. It's Jesus. It's his gospel. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Doesn't that take your breath away? That God would give his only son to die for you when you deserve to die instead? And all we have to do is believe in him and we won't perish? We won't die? and have eternal life? Is it that simple? Yeah, it is. Now I say that because we know after we become a believer, it gets difficult. Because we have to keep surrendering that to God and surrendering our lives to God. And that's never easy. But believing in Christ is easy. I believe it. I believe that He is the Son of God, that He came and He died for me. That He paid the price and that He rose again and that He's coming again. I believe it. Now I got to live it. Because that's the gospel, part of the gospel. I need to live it now. But it blows me away. It's unbelievable good news. But sometimes, like I say, we get too comfortable. We get too familiar with it. It becomes a part of what we do. You know, we just do it. No big deal. We just think, we don't think about it. We don't really think about the gospel. We run the risk of making it just background noise. You know, you walk into an elevator and there's music playing in the elevator. And you may even sing along with that song. I bet you 5 minutes after you walk out of the elevator, you can't even remember what the song was. That's what we've made the gospel in the church today. We may agree with it. We may sing along. We may sing it in our songs. All the songs today had the gospel in them, by the way. We sing it. But when we walk out, do we remember it? Do we live it? Do we apply it? I hope we do. I try. See, we believe today in the American church that our job is to take the gospel to others outside the church. And believe me, it is. It's our mandate. It's what we're supposed to be doing. So we take the gospel outside the church, or at least we want to, and we support organizations that do, right? But the reality is that it's those of us inside the church that need the gospel also. We need it just as much as those outside the church. So what do? We create a language. We start speaking gospelese. So we talk about all the people in the church are believers. So what are all the people outside the church? What are they? Non-believers or unbelievers, right? No, wrong. We're all unbelievers. They just haven't heard the gospel yet. They don't believe because they haven't heard. And how can they hear if nobody goes? And how can anybody go if they haven't been sent? And you understand what that's talking about. We need to go. We need to share the gospel with people. But it's not just for them, it's for us. So when I'm talking to somebody in the church, when you're standing talking to me and you're telling me that, yeah, man, this has been a rough week, I need to speak the gospel into your life. Now, I don't need to get lofty and high-horsed about this and say, well, you know what Jesus would do. No. Now, you can say that, but you got to be real about it. You say, yeah, man, I know. But you know God loves you. And He'll get you through this if you trust Him. How can I help you this week? Let's stay in contact this week and let's spend some time praying together, even if it's over the phone. That is speaking the gospel into somebody's life. That's what we need in the church. And then we go out and we share that with the people outside the church. And then they believe in the gospel and they start spreading it. And see, that's how it works. They start spreading the gospel. We don't just need to check the box off. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago? We all have places in our lives where we don't fully believe what He did for us that was enough. We struggle. And this is why Paul, when he talks to the church at Ephesus, he's telling them in chapter 4, verse 15, he says, rather, speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We need to speak the truth to each other. And the truth is Jesus Christ. This is not talking about, you know, brother, you got a problem. I'm here to tell you the truth. That's not what that says. That's another place in Scripture that tells us when a brother does us wrong that we are to go to them and restore them lovingly. We've confused those two verses. This verse is not what this says. This says we are to speak the truth in love. And the truth is Jesus Christ. So that we grow up into Him and mature into Christ. We need the gospel to be radically unleashed into our lives. So that all those areas where we don't truly trust Him, we don't truly believe in Him, are filled. It's like going into a completely pitch dark room and you have a lamp. And you take the shade off and you click it on and the darkness flees. And it's light. That's what it is when we allow the gospel to fully enter our lives and to change us. Now, I know I'm talking, we're still in the introduction. We're going to talk later on how this works and what it looks like later today, but later in weeks to come. We're going to talk about what it looks like. What does it look like to bring the gospel and to have it flow into us and have it so radically change us? What does that look like? We're going to talk about that. So just understand, we're just laying the groundwork. Every day we must realize, though, that we're sinners living in a sinful world. We are still sinners. Now, I truly believe that we can work towards not being sinners anymore. But when that happens, we'll stand before Christ. That's when it'll stop. Until that time, I'm being sanctified daily, hopefully. If I'm bringing the gospel in, that's my responsibility to bring the gospel in. It's his responsibility to work it in me and for me to share it with others. Every day we encounter the lies of the enemy, trying to get us to forget the price that Jesus paid for us. Trying to get us to remember, he tries to get us to forget that Jesus paid it, it's done. Jesus says, it is finished. We still beat ourselves up. We still hang on to that sin. We still think we have to be better. And we will when we fully surrender to Christ. We won't do those things anymore. Paul says, put to death the sin nature. That's us doing that. But it's not by our own power, which we're going to talk about next week. It's not by our own power that we do it. We do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. The problem is we don't ever accept the power. Every day we're tempted to believe the lies and to seek our own way in this life. And it's not what we're supposed to do. We need the gospel in our lives so that we live holy lives, but not by our own efforts. But because we are what? A new creation that has been brought into us by the power of the gospel, through the gospel. Remember, the gospel is not just for those outside the church. You and I, we never graduate from the gospel. It's for us also. There's never a time and the point that we are not going to need the gospel in our lives. In fact, there are many times we need more of the gospel. I don't know about you. There are times in my week I need more of the gospel. And those are usually the times that I am looking at myself and I'm being self-centered. But I don't want to hear the gospel. It's all about me. It's all about me. My problems, my worries, my concerns. That's when I need the gospel. I need Jesus talking to me. I need the Holy Spirit speaking to me, saying, I love you, but it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And it's about everybody else. You need to love them. But I don't want to. Too bad. I love it when I can tell my kids, and I say, well, why? I don't want to do that. Too bad. Well, why? Because our daddy said so. That's why. Why do we need to love each other? Because Jesus said so. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. It's not an option. Wives, submit to your husbands. Love them. Why? It's not an option. It's not because you want to. It's because you have to. Well, I don't like that. That's too bad. Sorry. You don't get a choice in this. This is not a democracy. We don't ever graduate from needing the gospel in order to fulfill the mandate that Jesus gives us to become, to grow, and to be like him. We need it. It's not about how many. I mean, I love to read books, believe me. Talk to anybody who knows me well. I'm a book reader. I'm reading 5 books right now. I know, I'm insane. I've got thousands of books on my list to read. It's not about that. Believe me, reading all those books will not make me more like Jesus. I can read every book there is on Jesus. I will not be more like Jesus. It doesn't matter how many times you attend church. You can attend church here every day we have the doors open. In fact, you can ask me to open the doors on Wednesdays just so you can come in here and be in church. You're not going to be more like Jesus. You're not going to mature into Jesus just because of the number of days that you check off the list that you made it into church. Doesn't matter how much money you put in the offering plate. I'm saying that, and Lori's not in here to give me a dirty look. But no, it's not. It's not about how much money you put in the plate. Because if you have the gospel in you and you're living it, you're going to put what you're supposed to put in the plate. But putting more money in the plate is not going to make you more like Jesus. The only thing that makes you more like Jesus is by living the gospel and putting his words into you. And living it radically. Having it change you radically. It's about how you apply the truths of the gospel in your life. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for you and for me and for everyone. It's from the power of salvation from our unbelief to our belief. See, we first have to acknowledge that I have unbelief. That's why I'm, again, hitting on this idea that we're all unbelievers, because I'm not so sure we fully grasp. I've struggled with that. When I first started thinking about this and writing this, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. But I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you're still an unbeliever. Well, wait a minute, God. And he starts showing me areas in my life where I don't believe him. And I'm like, oh, okay. I need the gospel more in my life. We come to church, we walk through the doors, and, you know, we act like we got it all together. We're like, hey, God, let's go worship. We're not truthful because we're supposed to worship in spirit and truth. So I need the gospel in my life to show me. Yeah. The truth is, I'm an unbeliever, I'm a sinner, and I need to worship. Because it takes the focus off of me and puts it on where it belongs, on him. And when somebody comes up to me and says, how are you doing? Say, I'm struggling, but I'm glad to be here. You be honest. You don't need to say, well, here, let me tell you. Why don't we not go into church so I can tell you about all my problems? No, we can say, you know, I'm struggling, but I'm glad that I'm here. And I'm glad I have a Savior. Why don't you call me this week and we can talk? And call and pray with each other. That is speaking the truth in love. We pretend, we work so hard to wear this mask. When in reality, Jesus came to set us free from that mask. We have freedom to admit that we believe in Jesus, but we don't at times. It's in this reality of the gospel that it has a chance when we admit that we have an issue that we don't believe fully. That's when the gospel can begin to change us. I want to share with you what I'm talking about here. Jesus had gone up to Mount Hermon. He had taken three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And if you know anything about Mount Hermon was a place of, it was a place in pagan religions where this is where the dark side, where evil met earth. And so, you know the story. Jesus goes up and they're there and Peter, James, and John sees Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And you think, oh, that's a cool story. They're talking about Jesus is what's going to happen coming up. It's more than that. Jesus is actually, if you study the history of Mount Hermon, this is a place of evil. This is a place where there is evil. And Jesus is there to basically pick a fight. And he does. He reclaims that mountain for God. And that's what the whole part of the transfiguration was all about. So they are there, and they're coming down the mountain with his three disciples, and they've experienced something that's amazing, the transfiguration. And there's a lot going on here, but understand that this is the point in time where Jesus is going to start making his way towards Jerusalem. He is looking to the point in time where he is going to die for us. This is pivotal. And he's going to face evil. He's going to face Satan and death on the cross. And he's going to bring Satan's kingdom crumbling down. And the promise from Genesis 3 where God says that you will bruise his heel, but he will break your head. He will crush your head. This is going to be fulfilled soon. And they come back down the mountain and Jesus has just picked a fight with evil. And he comes down into his disciples, and there's a fight going on. He's up on the mountain, and they're fighting down below. This is from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. It says, and when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them. The scribes were arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And what does Jesus do? So the crowd runs up, and Jesus says, what is going on? That's my interpretation. He asks his disciples, what are you arguing about? You know, I think scripture kind of tones things down a little bit. It doesn't give us, it's kind of like Facebook or texting. You really don't get emotion in it. I know we have emojis. You know, what would Jesus put after, you know, what are you guys doing? He wouldn't put a smiley face. What are you guys arguing about with a smiley face? I think there would be more emotions. Like, what are you arguing about? I mean, him and the three disciples just came from a mountaintop experience. And he comes down and they're arguing about something. And when we find out that the disciples don't answer him, He asked them directly, what are you arguing about? And the Pharisees and Sadducees don't answer him. What happens is a man comes forward and he says, Jesus, I brought my son to you to be healed of a demon who he's had since birth. His entire life has been controlled by this demon. But when he gets there, Jesus isn't there. He's not there. Well, his disciples are, and they decide that, oh, we can take care of this. I mean, did not Jesus not send us out two by two? And did we not, you know, did not the demons listen to us and do what we told them to do? Yeah, that did happen. So they're like, we can take care of this. We got this, not a problem. We don't need to wait for Jesus. And in reality, they should have been able to do it. But they didn't. They'd done it before, but they couldn't do it. And I'm sure this man tried everything possible to help his son. I mean, this is like the last resort. But everything else had failed. And so he comes to Jesus. Jesus is his final hope. And believe me, he believes that Jesus can do it. Or else why would he come? If the doctor has medicine that you know is going to help you, but you don't believe it's going to help you, are you going to take it? I wouldn't. But that's me. I don't always do what the doctor tells me. Because I know they're human too and they make mistakes. But for the most part, I trust him. He believed that Jesus could do this. So he brings his son. But he gets disappointed because Jesus isn't there and the disciples can't do it. After Jesus listens to him, Jesus states what the problem is. He says, and he answered them, O faithless generation, you guys have no faith. You don't believe me. This is his disciples he's talking to also, because they couldn't do it. You don't have any faith in me. How long am I to be with you? How long do I need to be here? Do I still have to clean up all your messes? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. Now you can imagine the disciples are sweating right now. Oh. See, their lack of faith was the problem. And we'll find out the father's lack of faith was the problem too. Because even though he did believe that Jesus could do it, he didn't have enough faith. He believed, but there was still unbelief. So they bring the boy to Jesus, this boy that's controlled by the Spirit. And what happens when the boy sees Jesus, the demon starts taking control of him, starts throwing him down and just doing all these things to him. And Jesus says, how long has this been going on? Well, since birth. From the childhood, this boy has been doing this. And he gives more details of the daily life that he's been, I mean, the demon's trying to kill this boy. Throws him into the water, into the fire. Could you imagine being a father and living life like that and being a child and living life like that? The man looks at Jesus and says, if you can do anything, please do it. I mean, that seems reasonable, right? You know, you go to the doctor. I go to the doctor. I called the doctor this last week and said, hey, you know, this is what's going on. You know, what can we do? What's the next thing we're going to do? Well, we didn't get to do the next thing because the insurance won't pay for it. But he said, well, this is what you're going to do. Okay, I'll do it. So I'm doing it this week. You know, if you can do it, do it. And Jesus says to him, if you can, what do you mean if I can? Where's your faith? He says, all things are possible for the one who believes. So understand, if you have trials in your life, if you're struggling with something in your life and you can't overcome it, it's because you don't have enough faith in God to do it. And you're trying to do it on your own. Well, I don't know about you. I have no faith in me because I know me. And I know I'm going to fail, but I know Jesus will never fail me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. I need to have faith that he's going to take care of it. Now, if it doesn't go away, I have to have faith to understand that he wants me to deal with it. But he'll help me get through it. That's faith. This man believed Jesus could do it, but he didn't believe that. Because he says, help me with that. I believe. Guess what? He's praying. He is praying, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. What an awesome prayer. Jesus, you've got to help me with my unbelief. You and I, we need to be praying that prayer. I believe, Jesus, I believe. But help me with my unbelief. help me with my unbelief. It's a simple but beautiful prayer. I believe that you set me free from sin. Now help me to stop sinning. Lord, I believe that I'm forgiven. Now help me to live it. Jesus, I need you to help me to believe. So what does Jesus do? He heals the boy and returns him to his father. See, if we're going to be fluent in the gospel, we are going to have to recognize, first of all, our need for it. We have to recognize the fact that we have unbelief in us. And I don't know where you're at. We're all at different places. It's okay. We need to become fluent in it. Because we need to recognize that we need it. And we need to recognize that we are unbelievers. We don't need to become fluent for someone out there who needs to hear the gospel. We just need to tell it to them. There are 1,001 different ways to tell people the gospel. We're teaching a class right now on how to do it. I taught a class last time on how to do it. There's many ways to do it. But you got to do it. That's that. But I need the gospel in me to help me with my unbelief. Jesus, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. See, you and I, we need to become fluent in the gospel for ourselves and for the people sitting next to us right now. And for the people on the other side of the room right now. We need the gospel to set us free in those areas of our lives where we believe, but we don't really believe. We need the gospel to set us free from today to believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead and that we don't have to spend eternity in hell. Yes. But also that he did it. He paid the price. It's done. He's put that to death. We need to put it to death. We need to stop the sin. We don't believe that God can restore our relationships. We don't believe that he can restore our relationship with him and he can't restore our relationships with each other. So we don't forgive people. I'm not forgiving them. Don't you believe that God can restore that? You don't believe that God has a plan and purpose for you? I can't serve God. What am I going to do? Believe me, when I was growing up, I was like, I don't want to be a pastor. Man, what's he going to do with me? God can't use me for that. Maybe he still isn't, I don't know. No, I believe he is. He changes us. He gives us what we need. If we believe. Some of us believe that we're going to spend the rest of our lives enslaved to a sin that we just can't kick. The problem is not the sin. The problem is our unbelief that Jesus already paid for that. Let it go. Get rid of it. And also the fact that I can't tell anybody about it. Oh, man, that would be too embarrassing. Really? God has provided for you a family that will help you without judgment if you just ask. But we don't. We don't believe. We don't believe God's good enough for that. We don't need the gospel for somebody else. We need it for ourselves. See, gospel fluency will lead us to gospel validity. Many times, the validity and the power of the gospel is seen in what happens other places. You know, our church down in Hartford City, I meet with the pastors of our area once a quarter. We had an overnight just this last week, and Josh and Kelly will share the amazing things that are happening for that church. I don't know if many of you know, they didn't have a building last week. They had no place to go, so they marched around. They did prayer walks around the courthouse. Guess what? God provided a building for them this week. An amazing building for them this week that's been empty for 4 years. The gospel's out there doing things. God is out there doing things. But it's for me, sometimes it's hard for me to see it. I see it happening elsewhere. But I don't see it in me. I struggle with that. I believe. Lord, help me with my unbelief. That's what happens in Mark 9. The very ones, the disciples who could have validated the gospel of Jesus could not because of their unbelief. They couldn't. So how can you tell those outside the church about the power of the gospel if you don't believe it yourself? I believe. Lord, help me with my unbelief. We need to break this mentality that has infected the American church that the gospel's for everybody else. It's for me. The gospel is our language. It needs to be our language. It needs to be our message. It needs to be what infiltrates us, what we examine the world through, what we see the world through, especially today. I'll say we're living in the end times, but we talked about that in class today. Yeah, we've been living in the end times since Jesus died and rose from the grave. We need it today, especially, though, as we get closer and closer to that day of the Lord. So together we can proclaim and we can demonstrate the power of the gospel for those who believe and for those that have not yet heard. The gospel is for everyone who believes, and it starts with us. Jesus, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, we just thank you for the gospel, for the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent your Son to die for us. When we deserve death, there's no one who's good, no one who seeks God. So he seeks us. And when he finds us, Lord, when you find us, we need help. We need the gospel daily in our lives. We need for you to help us with our unbelief, because we believe, but not fully. And we will be like the disciples. We will be unable to validate the gospel unless we are fully believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we got to be perfect. Doesn't mean we need to be super Christians. We know that, Lord. But what it does mean is that we need to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. Help us, Lord, with our unbelief. As we go about our days, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for what you do, the work you do in us, through us. And most times, I'll be honest with you, Lord, I think you work in spite of us. But praise be to God when you draw us in and you work through us. We get to be part of that. Help us to seek you out. Help us, Lord, to have the gospel become part of all that we are. And we pray this by the power of the Holy Spirit and the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, for the grace and the glory of the Father, Jehovah. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.